question for you on this Wednesday night. Do you tend to be more disturbed about the sins you see in other people out there than you are about your own sin? Think about it. Which one tends to upset you more? Tonight we're going to be looking at a few scriptures. And as some of these scriptures are when Jesus is like the marksman from heaven aiming to lay open the hearts of men and women. These are where rubber meets the road type of scriptures. They're challenging, but they really can help us. Now, I'm calling tonight's message The Dirty Window. I'll explain that in a little bit, The Dirty Window. But we're going to be looking at a few scriptures, and I'm going to share a few challenges with you. And so let's just begin with the Word in Luke chapter 18. This is where Jesus is talking about the Pharisee. And it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but struck his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now that's reading verses 11, then jumping to verses 13 and 14. Two people, one a Pharisee, the religious guy, the pedigree, done his Bible work. The other, a tax collector, one of the more hated of society. And yet Jesus calls attention to the fact that the tax collector's heart was really in a better place than the Pharisee's heart. Because the Pharisee was a self-righteous hypocrite. That mentality, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. Holiness, as I see, is Jesus, me, and the KJV. Easily point out the faults, the flaws, the failures, the shortcomings, the mishaps, the mistakes, the sins, the iniquities, the weakness, the wickedness of others. And yet blindfolded when it comes to seeing his own true condition. But the tax collector wouldn't even lift his head. He's looking within and realizing how much he falls short. And so his heart is, Lord, I'm not in. I'm not making it. I need help. Be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. The other guy, he's not looking within. He's looking around. He's comparing himself. And if we're not careful, we can fall prey to this same wrong ideology that causes us to miss the mark when it comes to living a truly godly life. We can't live comparing ourselves to other people, because what we tend to do is find someone we think is far off, far worse than we are, and think, well, I'm better than he is. That's, you're using the wrong gauge. The proper gauge is the perfection, righteousness, and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of the living God, who bore your sin and my sin, that we might receive as a free gift his righteousness. So Jesus challenges, and I want to say it this way. This is the first statement I want to share with you. When you exalt yourself above others, then God will exalt others above you. That's what we see happening in this story. Because Jesus said that tax collector, he's the one that left his place of prayer and went home right with God. In other words, God saw something in that man's heart, and what was it? It was a realization of his true condition and an humble heart before God, pleading for God's mercy. Now, I realize this is before Jesus became sin bearer. It's before the work of the cross was accomplished. But still, this principle is very applicable and powerful for each of us. We're not to compare ourselves to other people. And we're to have a heart of humility. You know, and we need to be careful. Well, I'd never do something like that. We're all capable of horrible things. And quite a few of us have a good bit of experience at it. But God's grace and God's mercy is available through the cross of Christ. And we're told very clearly, particularly throughout the epistles of the New Testament, that God, in the book of James and the book of in Peter's writing, 1 Peter, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, if we're going to be grace people, we need to have humble hearts. So when we step into this story that Jesus is sharing, do we see more of the Pharisee or the tax collector in our own lives? Because when you exalt yourself above others like this Pharisee was doing, then God will exalt others above you. It's a saying about preachers and coaches. You can be strutting like a peacock one day and be a feather duster the next. I mean, things can change really fast. But it's very helpful and beneficial for us to really try to maintain humility of heart. To me, that's one of the chief characteristics of a Christian's life, is the ability to be teachable, to be trainable, to be humble in heart. Now, I'm not talking about a false humility, and you're going to hear me grounding you and teaching you who you are in Christ. You should be confident and strong in who you are in Christ, but not who you are in you. It's who you are in Christ. You can get lots of self-help about how to boost your own ego and psychological ways of approaching life to, you know, pump up your human effort and be the best you can be. But Scripture calls us to humble ourselves and recognize our true condition before God. In order for anyone to be saved, they first have to come face to face with the reality they are lost. Well, Jesus didn't have to suffer too much to cover my few little old sins. That's the wrong kind of thinking. The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Deceitful above all things, the writer of Scripture says. I mentioned this Sunday. All of we are like that sheep that's gone astray and gone to its own way. There's none righteous. There's no, not one that is righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Some of us may make a better stab than others, but at the end of the day, none of us meet the mark. Hence, God so loved us, He sent His Son, gave His Son to die on the cross, that if you would believe, if I would believe in Him, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It's God's gift to you, not of works, because you would boast if it was works. That's what Paul says. So, when you exalt yourself above others, then God will exalt others above you. You can take that into your career path too. Serve others. Try to lift others up. Always exalt God in everything you do. Then He will exalt you in due time. We don't want to live like those crabs in the bucket. When somebody almost gets there, then somebody else pulls them down. So let's be humble and remember this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's look at another scripture. In Matthew 7, this is another scorcher, verses 3 through 5. Jesus is talking about judging, about judge not lest you be judged, and so forth. And he said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? In the Christian community, we have too many spectators, right? Too many spectators. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Whoops, there's that word. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. The hypocrite that's hardest to see is the hypocrite that's in me. Say that over yourself, too. That's the hypocrite that's hardest to see. It's the one that lives in me. Jesus says, hypocrite, first, and listen, he's not forbidding people from helping people with their speck. But he says, first, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Sometimes I'm up here and I've had to stop a couple of times and say, Mickey, get something and help me clean my glasses because I can't see. And that's applicable in our walk with the Lord, where you can imagine if a surgeon had glasses on, had splatter all over him, and he's fixing to open you up and go in there and work on one of your arteries around your heart, you'd probably want him to clean his glasses, right? You don't want him taking a whack at it, hoping he hits the right place. You want him to see clearly. So some people are self-appointed surgeries that love to slice and dice other people because they can see their warts and their flaws and their failures. And when I say some people, listen, probably most of us at some juncture or the other, we've been that person. We've been that person. Lord, help us. But Jesus says, no, first remove the plank from your own eye. Then when you see clearly, you can remove the speck from your brother's eye. And your eye is one of your most sensitive things. You know, if you've got a speck in your eye and somebody helps you get it out, it's tedious work. Here's the statement I want to share with you. When you fail to examine yourself, you will tend to excuse your sin. Your sin. When you fail to examine your own self, you will tend to excuse your own sin. And that's the problem we can get into when we start slinging judgments against other people for the way they live or for the things they do. And we haven't stopped and paused and examine the conditions of our own heart. Now, I'm calling this the dirty window because of the story where the woman's at her kitchen sink one morning, and she's looking out, and her neighbor's hanging out the wash, and she says to her husband, he's over there reading the paper and sipping his coffee, that poor woman next door, she doesn't know how to wash her laundry. Look how dirty those clothes are. Bless her heart. Somebody needs to teach her how to wash clothes. A few days later, she's back at the sink. There that lady is. She says it again. Her husband's just listening quietly, sipping his coffee. My goodness, somebody needs help, that woman. Look at those clothes. She doesn't. Something must be wrong with her washing machine. She's hanging them out to dry. She does that a number of times. Then one morning she goes, she sees her neighbor out, and she says, oh my goodness, someone has helped her learn how to do her laundry. Look how white her clothes are, how clean they are. And her husband said, no, sweetheart. Said, I got up this morning, I actually cleaned that window for you. The dirty window. And we can be guilty of the dirty window perspective. We're sizing people up. or we're cutting people down to size. Maybe we're being judgmental, and we're pointing out the specks, and we're calling out the sin, and yet we don't realize that our own perspective is dirty. We've got things we need to deal with. And it's more painful to deal with our own stuff. But when you fail to examine yourself, according to what Jesus is saying here, no, there's a right order. You examine yourself, you get the stuff out of your own eye, and then you can help your brother. Because if you don't use that sequence, you're not going to help your brother, you're going to harm your brother. And there's a lot of people that would be in a church somewhere this coming Sunday morning if somebody hadn't gone after their speck with a plank in their own eye. Because that's when we're being hypocritical. I know in my conversations with Mickey, I'm not going to tell you how many times I hadn't kept up with it. More times than ought to be so. I'd be saying something in the middle of it. The Holy Spirit would show me. I had the same thing in my life that I was upset about. It may have been painted a different color, but it was the same thing at the heart. So again, this is about humility, realizing, hey, I need to examine myself. I don't have it all together either. I need to work on this. But when things are cleared up in me, then I am better suited to help someone else. Again, Jesus is not forbidding us to help people. Or sometimes, and I think it's good to have a relationship with somebody. You don't want to be that person that just gets excited when you're about to light into somebody. You know, there needs to be a tear in your eye and an eye and a burden in your heart and an awareness, but by the grace of God, as I ask you this Sunday, there go I. Lord, help us to be that kind of people. Because when people are coming here on Sunday and Wednesday, and maybe the first time, may they be met with the love of God. You know, don't let them get 10 feet in the door and start pointing out stuff. And you're not that kind of people. And I thank God that you're not. But I am dropping by tonight to remind you, don't become that person. Let's not be that person. Let's not be that Pharisee. And let's not be that spectator, okay? Third scripture is found in Matthew chapter 7, a few verses later. And this is when Jesus is telling about a man who had a huge debt. And he goes to the man he owes, and the man has mercy on him and forgives this huge debt. We're going to step into what happens. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you." Now, the part I left out is, this man that had been forgiven a huge debt, after he's forgiven a huge debt, he runs over to this other guy. It's like, say he's been forgiven $1 million. And that's just wiped clean. Yippee, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then he runs over here and there's a guy that owes him $10. And he says, all right, I'm gonna have him come get you and put you in jail so that debt's paid. And this is what the master that had forgiven him much said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. He ended up requiring it of him after all. Why? Because the person that received mercy did not show mercy. So that's the statement I want to share with you. When you refuse to give mercy after you have received mercy, you invite misery into your life. Jesus said that master turned that man over to the torturers. that man became tormented as his result of refusing to forgive. Bottom line, when you refuse to give mercy or when you refuse to forgive, after you've received mercy or after you've been forgiven, you invite misery. You invite torment. You, in a sense, are turned over to the torturers. Now, that's not a good thing, in case that went over your head. So, it's so important. Blessed are the merciful. Why? They will obtain mercy. Again, these are scriptures where Jesus is just getting in our grill and telling us some basic ways that we need to be sure that we're living. We don't need to be pharisaical hypocrites that's comparing ourselves to other people like we're better or we're superior to them. Jesus died for you and he died for me just like he died for the worst sinner out there. And we don't need to be that person who, as we see right here, that God's been so good to us. He's been so kind to us. He's forgiven us. I don't want to have a meeting tonight where we all just stand up and share all the worst things we've ever done. Do you? It's like Paul, some things we're ashamed to talk about. But we've been forgiven. Aren't you glad you're not who you once were? But aren't you glad also you're not yet who you are ultimately going to be? That he's still working on you. He's still working on me. We're a work in progress. And for that to really work the way the Lord wants it to, we've got to be humble. We don't need to be like the Pharisee. We need to examine our own eye. We don't need to be like the guy that's got the plank that's trying to help the guy with the speck. And we need to be like the master that forgave a huge debt. And we don't need to be like the guy that, having been forgiven, now wants to exact the payment of a debt owed him that's much, much, much smaller. Just like regardless of what anyone may have done to any of us, that compared to what was done to Christ on the cross is small stuff. And yet he bore all of that to forgive us of all of our iniquities. Don't jump over that word all and fail to absorb what's being said there. Because I see people struggle with that all the time. Even this past week I had someone say, well, you just don't know what I've done. I just don't see how the Lord could forgive me for what I've done. But really, that takes away from what Jesus says. It takes away from what God has said, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Whatever it is, his blood takes care of it. If we confess, I agree with God, this is a plank. This is not speck territory. This is a plank. As a matter of fact, this is a foam pole. No, this is a redwood. This is a redwood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all sin. And listen, this is the glorious message of the church. No matter what you've done, where you've gone, who you've become, there's hope, there's help, and there's forgiveness to you. Something better awaits you when you fall into the merciful hands of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a beautiful thing for a repentant heart to run to Jesus and collapse in his embrace and receive his forgiveness, be baptized with Father's love, be sealed with the Holy Spirit, have joy and peace radiating in your life because you have met God's grace face to face, and you have been changed by it. That's the message we have to share with people. And there's a lot of lonely and hurt and hopeless people that need to know what we have discovered in Jesus Christ. So let's clean our dirty windows. Let's repent of our pridefulness. Because there's something about understanding and appreciating just how much Christ had to suffer because of our sin that changes our perspective when we looked at someone else that's living in it. I was recently talking with someone whom the Lord was dealing with and was encouraging them to come, you know, come and worship with us. And I've had this happen. I imagine Pastor Doc and you, our other Pastor Gary and others have had this happen many times. Well, I don't know if I've got the right thing to wear. But you know why they would ask questions like that? Because somebody's told them they haven't. People come from backgrounds, and a number of us maybe have had seasons of our life when we've been under teaching that, now, I believe God's a God of wrath. I believe God judges sin. That's the reason we run to the cross, because that's where he judged sin, where we get to escape the consequences of it. But a lot of people are raised under a teaching where their fear of doing something wrong far outweighs the joy of living righteously. I remember being raised hearing things like, you don't wear patent leather boots in the house of God. If a man's hair touches his collar, he's going to burn in hell. Now, you may think I'm exaggerating. Am I exaggerating? Some of you have heard that kind of teaching. I hadn't found those patent leather boots anywhere in Scripture yet. If I may have looked over it, let me know if you've got the reference on that. But this list, Pharisaical, self-righteous list that conspicuously have absence the things that people don't want to give up. Isn't that the sins we don't talk about? Let's be grace people, mercy people, without condoning or celebrating sin. Listen to me. Sin, our sin, cost Jesus Christ his life. If you saw your child petting a rattlesnake, would you feel sorry for the rattlesnake? Would you encourage them to pet the rattlesnake? You'd want to kill that thing. Why? Because it has the capability of taking the life of your child. When God sees sin in our life, he sees that which cost him the life of his son. So we shouldn't celebrate it. So be clear about that. We shouldn't celebrate it. But oh, how we need to love people enslaved by it. Oh, how they need to experience the grace and love of God that will set them free from that, can change their wrong desires into righteous desires. Because when God's grace comes, it gives you the desire and the power to do the will of God. Would you stand with me tonight? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. And would you take just a few moments of prayer between you and the Lord? And let's you and I examine our hearts. Perhaps you're thinking, I'm not that Pharisee, but I know what it's like for somebody to try to get the speck out of my eye that's got a plank. Well, you be careful that you can give mercy to the person with the plank. Because this thing can bite you from lots of different directions. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to grow in grace. Help us to be big on mercy. Help us not to be judge, jury, and executioner. But help us take a stand for righteousness. Help us to be people who want justice in the right ways. Help us to be people who can love the sinner without celebrating the sin. Lord, we can't do it without you. Just tell him that. Lord, I can't do it without you. Help me. Would our prayer team members just come and be available in the altar area to pray for anyone who may have need of prayer tonight? And I want to ask you to pack these simple truths away in your heart and ponder them. Pray about them. Size yourself against them and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We have people here to pray with you. If you have need of prayer, feel free to come on up and receive that ministry. It'll be helpful for you. God bless you. Again, invite someone to come back with you this coming Lord's Day. Pray for Grace House to be all God has called her to be. Love you all. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thanks for being here. Blessings.